during the service. Yeah, with or that, let me turn the sound off. Oops.
Yeah, this is.
If I can't get it.
Well, I'm wondering if I can, I could stream it over there, like you do here, but. Maybe Wednesday, you can go through, you can fill me.
If they don't have a Facebook page, I'm using the Facebook page to go with.
I'll have to check.
But I mean, I guess you could just video it, but I don't.
Yeah.
Scott's on the move again.
When one person has our fiber chat, does it, everybody gets a notification of that.
I know.
It looks like Loretta is here. Hi, Loretta. I can't see you, but I see that you're on. And your mic is muted, so that's okay.
Want a prelude song?
Sure. You'd like to play something nice?
Okay. I got lots of room.
Thank you.
want to welcome everybody, and if you are on Zoom and you can see, turn your mic off so that, unless you want to preach, that'd be fine too, but turn your mic off. The announcements are fairly simple. The Joint Call Committee will meet via Zoom at 2 o'clock today. Also, if you know somebody who hasn't joined us, we can check out Union Congregational Service at 11. Wednesday at 10 o'clock, if you're not doing anything else, how about having coffee with me and devotions by Zoom? Let me know and I'll send you a link so that you can join me. On Wednesday also, 6 o'clock, confirmation class will be meeting by Zoom. And the Lenten service will be on Zoom. If you'd like a copy of the skit that we'll be doing, or I'll be doing by myself, instead of all of the characters I have in it, let me know and we'll get you a copy. Check your emails for the link. Also, when you're doing that, check your trash, because some people have said that the link that we're trying to send ends up in spam or in trash, so check those out. The daily devotions for April are ready. We're going to send them out via email each day, so you'd get them every day if you would like. And I can't think of any other announcements at this point. So let's begin our worship.
An announcement?
Yes.
So for the PI fundraiser, We are still going to be doing, you can still pick them up on April 2nd. Or we can deliver them to you. Can you do that too?
Okay.
Oh, April 11th.
April 11th? Yes.
It's joint church council meeting today at 2, not the call committee.
Is that the...
According to Bill?
Okay,
it's joint church council meeting. At 2 o'clock.
All right, instead of the other. Okay. Have trouble keeping these straight. All right, any other announcements? All right, then let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit, and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Hymn number 779, if you happen to have a hymnal handy, otherwise, you'll get to hear a solo. Amazing Grace.
Wretch like me, I
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Have mercy on us, Lord, and hear our solemn prayer. We come to hear your living word. It saves us from despair. Have mercy on us, Christ, and wash away our sin. Pour out your grace and make us whole, that new life may begin. Renew us with your love, let sin and shame depart. Renew us with your saving power, create in us new hearts. Glory be
of our hearts, and anoint us with your Spirit, for we live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you're standing up, you can be seated. The first reading is from the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel. Samuel anointed David, even though he was the 8th oldest son of Jesse, and did not match his brothers in height or other physical characteristics. With the anointing came empowerment, endowment with the Spirit of the Lord, designating David as the Lord's chosen successor for Saul. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I'll send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among the sons, his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I named for you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made seven of his sons pass by Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Samuel said to Jesse, are all of your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but he's keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. He sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes, and was handsome. The Lord said, rise and anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. From that day forward, Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. That's the word of the Lord, word of life. Thanks be to God. Let's read Psalm 23, and you may know it by heart. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord makes me lie down in the green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul and guides me along right pathways for your name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would all of you who are watching check your microphone? Somebody's microphone is on. The second reading is from the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Because we now live in the divine light, which is Jesus Christ, we conduct our lives in ways that reflect the light of Christ, so that our activity is truly pleasing to God. Paul writes, once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, it is he. Others were saying, no, but it's someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, sprayed it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He's of age. Ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know, though, I was blind. Now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, this is an odd and unusual experience for me. I think there are a total of five of us in the building. Excuse me. And it just seems rather odd. And I really can't wander around because of the camera and the Zoom thing. So here we are. Well, I want to start out by telling you that when I was a kid, I hated going to the dentist. Going to the dentist meant pain. And I thought that our dentist was at least 100 years old. And most of the instruments of torture that he used were probably older than that. I hated it. And one example is that once when I was in his chair, he tapped on a tooth and he said, "Did that hurt?" And it hurt like gangbusters, but I squeaked out, "No!" Because I didn't want him messing with it. Because he was of the opinion that the only time he needed to use Novocaine was if he thought he needed it. Fortunately, he read my body language and gave me a shot of Novocaine before he pulled the tooth. Because what's on the outside of a tooth isn't always what's on the inside. That's true of people too, and of a lot of other things. If you've ever watched Antique Roadshow, you know that there are some people's trash that become other people's treasures. In fact, people will go out to the dump or go out to the trash and pick up items that everybody else has thrown away, and then they discover, wow, it's worth hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars. Well, people are like that too, and Samuel discovered that. The whole story about Samuel is that that Israel was a loose confederacy of 12 different tribes. These 12 tribes only would get together to work together if they were being threatened by a common enemy. But quite often they would even fight with one another. And they finally came to the conclusion that they needed a king. They were almost about to be attacked by the Philistines, and they thought, we need a king. And Samuel, when they came to him, he was the last of the judges, he said, no way, not over my dead body. There is not going to be another king in Israel. We have one king, and that is God. Well, matters kept progressing to the point where it looked like it was going to be pretty obvious they were going to be defeated, and the people kept clamoring for a king. So Samuel threw up his hands and said, okay, you want a king? I'll go find you a king. And the king he came up with was a guy who was actually in hiding. He had heard that Samuel was looking for a king, and he didn't want any part of it. He was hiding in the baggage. And when Samuel found him, he said, wow, this is the guy. He was big and tall and handsome, everything you would like to see in a king. But it didn't take long for Samuel to discover that Saul was not a man after God's own heart. Saul was a man after his own heart and was already becoming a little bit paranoid. And so David becomes the next king. And again, Samuel goes in search of this young man. He doesn't know who it is, so he casts lots. He ends up in Bethlehem, and he goes to the house of Jesse. And then he goes through each of Jesse's sons and finds out none of them work. So they call in this little shepherd boy, and that's part of it. He's ruddy in complexion. He has been out with the sheep all the time. He's nothing to look at, although they said underneath he was handsome. But God said, this is the one that I want. And proved to be a man after God's own heart throughout his life. The Apostle Paul says that the treasure within us is the light of Christ, which shines in the darkness. When all of everything else around us seems like it should work, well, God calls us into the light and out of the darkness. Martin Luther, in the movie Martin Luther, Heretic, there's a scene in which Luther is teaching a group of students in Wittenberg University. And he has just come to the conclusion that we are saved by grace through faith. He has discovered that the truth within us is greater than that which is without. The heart of the gospel is the grace of Jesus Christ. And that does not depend upon us. In fact, what he says is, good works add nothing to our salvation. One of the students says, well, then I can do as I please. Luther says, yes, you can do as you please. But the question is, what pleases you? If Christ lives in us, if we aim to please Christ, then we produce the fruits of good works. The good works do not produce the light that we need, but they are a byproduct of salvation. In the gospel, Jesus points to the fact that he is the light of the world. The light from the sun heats the earth, or the earth is cold. I've seen some of those science projects where science historical documents where they talk about the massive volcanoes that obliterated the sun in the distant past, and what they ended up with was a global winter because the plants needed the light in order to create oxygen, and in order for the plants to feed the animals, they had to be alive, but they died. And I think it was rather interesting in the gospel how Jesus heals the blind man. And the people who are the most blind are the most religious. The treasure is right there in front of them. The treasure is Jesus. And they just don't see him. I remember reading about a traveling pastor who would go from town to town preaching the gospel. He never asked the people of the town to join his church or any other church. He just went about preaching the gospel. But many of the pastors, like the Pharisees, were jealous of him because he drew great crowds. Well, where is the treasure? Jesus was like that. He was rejected by the religious leaders, the very ones who should have accepted him and called him their own. What's the treasure we seek? Psychology Today, several years ago, had an article in which the author said that those who were generous have fewer health problems. And they did a study, and they said that even watching a film clip of Mother Teresa helping people in Calcutta boosted their immune system. So, you want to boost your immune system? Want to fight this coronavirus? There you go. Be generous in heart, mind, and soul. One of my favorite poems, it's actually kind of almost a story too, is, and I think I've shared it before, but The Touch of the Master's Hand by Myra Brooks Welch. It goes like this. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his time to waste much time with the old violin. But he held it up with a bow. What am I bidding, good folks, he cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar? Only a dollar? Who'll make it two? $2, and who'll make it three? $3 going once, $3 going twice. But from the room far back, a gray-haired old man came forward and picked up the bow. And wiping the dust off of the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody as pure and sweet as caroling angels sing. And when the music ceased, the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "Now, who'll start the bidding for me? $1,000, and who'll make it two? 2,000, and who'll make it three? 3,000, going and gone," said he, and the people cheered. But some of them said, "We don't quite understand. What changed the value of it?" Swift came the reply: "The touch of the master's hand." Now many a man, with his life out of tune and battered and scarred by sin, is auctioned cheap to this thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. Cup of pottage, glass of wine, a game, and he's traveling on. He's going once, he's going twice, and he's almost gone. But the master comes. And the foolish crowd just can't understand the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. You and I are like that old violin. In many ways, we may think of ourselves as battered and scarred by sin, worthless and not worth anything, and yet the good news is that we have been saved by grace through faith. That the light of Christ does come to live in us when we turn to Him and allow Him to touch our lives now and every day. May we live our lives as servants of the Lord. That's the good news. Amen. Now we'll try to sing, "I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light." I notice that my voice is a little crackly. So, Bill, if you're there, join me. Jeremiah, you can sing too. All of you can sing. I know Dean has a good voice also. I know Dennis does.
As a child of the light, I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day, the Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. Learn to see the brightness of God. I want to look at Jesus. Clear sign of righteousness, I
Well, that's an interesting experience. Let us profess our faith using the creed which we have printed for us. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need of any kind. Let us remember those we name in our hearts later in the prayer. God of insight, open the hearts of the church and the world to all who testify to your deeds of power. Raise up voices in your church that are often silenced or overlooked due to age, gender, expression, race, or economic status. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of insight, bring peace to all peoples and nations. Anoint leaders who seek goodness and righteousness and truth on behalf of us all. Frustrate the efforts of those who would seek to cause violence or terror. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of insight, you care for the needs even before we ask. Come quickly to all who seek prayers this day, especially all of those suffering from the coronavirus and others we name in our hearts before you. Accomplish healing through the work of doctors, nurses, physical therapists, nutritionists, and all who tend to human bodies. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of insight, help us, help this assembly lift up the unique gifts of each person who enters. We ask that you give a double measure of your spirit to our joint call committee, to Don Scandling, Barb Millett, Peggy Bjerke, Cheryl Gerard, Kathy Reimer, Bill Hawley, Leslie Pearson, Loretta Funk, Dean Knauer, Scott Madsen, and Walker Silvernagel. Bless also our church councils with your wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of insight, you call out to those who are asleep and waken them to new life with you. We give thanks for your saints. Join us together with them as your children in this world and the next. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you through Christ our Lord, who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, we usually have our, we share the peace. So, the peace of Christ be with you all. Thank you. Please, we usually have the offering at this point. Please send your offering to the church or via direct deposit through your bank. because the expenses of the church are not going to stop despite what the coronavirus is doing other places. So let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You are mine is the song. It's 581 in the ELW, the Red Book. So if you happen to have one, join us.
I will bring you home.
Let us go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.